When I left, they were lined up coming in, but they're all in there now. If we can just get out of here before they get out, we might get to go home tonight. Amen? Praise God. But the Lord has been good. Yes, Sister Venable, take your place. Praise God. Amen. We're going to move into this service. I see part of what Doug had planned for this evening, and that is this world map that we had, Pamela actually had suggested this before I thought of it, but to see where the gospel has went from this church and where people have come to our website from all over the world. And we are so grateful. If you can't see the little pins unless you get up close to it, but if you get up close, you're going to see that Doug had to stick a whole lot of little pins in a whole lot of different places on that map. And you can see how the gospel of Jesus Christ from here is going into places that we never dreamed we would be able to share Christ and to share the ministry of the Holy Spirit through this ministry. I give him all the credit for everything. If he pulled his anointing off of me, well, I could do nothing, just like the Bible says. But because of Jesus, we're able to be faithful enough that he has looked at us as a people, as a unit, not just at me or my wife, but looked at us as a unit and said, I can use that church because of their faithfulness. And there's only been a few of us that can really be representative of complete faithfulness. But the faithful few God has honored by letting us participate in an outreach that reaches around the world, literally. And the pins represent where the gospel from here has went, and they're all over the place. And it covers a territory far bigger than anything we could ever imagine. So he's actually keeping the promise to call upon me, and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Again, I want to reiterate, because many people take that as a revelation of God, a deep personal revelation. It's not about that. It is God in behalf of Israel coming through again and delivering them over and over. I'm going to show you. I'm going to demonstrate. I'm going to manifest, amen, my keeping power and my protecting power and providing power in your behalf. And I'm going to do it in a way that's beyond anything you could ever imagine. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is so good tonight. Well, if you would stand to your feet tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Taylor if he will come and open this service. I didn't know you'd made it back there. Praise the Lord. Amen. I knew you're... He meet him. There's two guys in green shirts, and I thought Sean had met himself coming. But actually it was...
I think that's Taylor.
Another Publix guy back here with a green shirt on. Amen.
Tacky.
Yeah.
Tacky. Tacky, tacky.
Did you say tacky or another guy back here with a tacky shirt on? Eh? No, I tell you, Sean wearing that public shirt. Praise God, hallelujah, amen. And she just loves a man in uniform. See how she's looking at him over there right now, making those doe eyes. I don't know. I might have to get me a public shirt. Glory to God. See if Pamela look at me like that. Well, Winn-Dixie ain't Publix, darling. Amen. Yeah, when I put on my goofy bonnet, there went all my appeal in that area. Amen. Yeah. Went right out the window. Brother Taylor, I'm going to bring you a microphone here that I think will reach. Maybe I'll give you my wife's and then we can give it back. And we got to. Did I get your microphone? Is this yours, Sherry? Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know if I got yours or not. But we're glad that you're here this evening. And we're going to try to redeem the time, honestly, tonight, because the theme tonight, and there's something else Doug is going to read, where the gospel is going. I want to emphasize our radio ministry here tonight and where God has taken it. But I want you to know that the primary ministry has been and will always be this congregation. I want to see this congregation grow. I want to see souls come to know Jesus. We live in a very gospel-saturated city with mega churches. And I mean mega churches here in this city. One that boasted not too many months ago of having 23,000 members in one church, one of the largest churches in the United States of America, right here in Tampa. That's a whole lot of people centered in one place. And then there's other churches that are running into the 1,000 area and more. 1,500 people is nothing for some churches, 3,000 people. the Baptist Church, Idlewild. I don't know how many thousand people attend that church. So this is a very churchy and church-saturated city. But God has chosen to do something with our little church that's not so much affecting the city of Tampa as it is the world. Hallelujah. So we're very grateful that God has given us an outreach that has just done what it's done. And we're grateful for the people that have supported, because being here and ministering here faithfully, God has allowed that to go forth. And everyone that comes here faithfully and helps us is a part and a participant in all of that. Praise the Lord. Brother Taylor.
Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord. You said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Lord. And God, we thank you for this little congregation, Lord. This, yes. Hallelujah, Lord, my conduct. God, how you have taken the gospel, Lord God, to the world, Lord God. And we thank you for it, Lord, because it's the truth going forth. Thank you for the truth of the gospel tonight, Lord God. God, have your way tonight, Lord God. Stir us up to do your will. Lord, we're living in the end time, Lord, and you're coming soon, Lord. But you're coming after people that's looking for you. You're coming after people that's ready to meet you, God. So help us to continue to do the will of God. Move by thy spirit tonight. Have your way, Lord God. Heal the sick, Lord God. Whatever's needed, Lord. Meet every need that's present tonight, Lord God. Move in the song service, Lord God. And as the word of God go forth, God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church, Lord God, and hearts to contain and to obey your word. Meet every need this prayer tonight. Thank you for it, Master. In Jesus' name we pray, and for the glory of God, amen.
Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to go ahead already and thank Doug for that, because that is so wonderful. It's got the scripture that we claimed, and God is fulfilling the very word that he gave us. It's got a prophecy on that map that he gave us. I will bring them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And silly us, we thought it was just going to be in our community. Can you say, man, God had something far bigger than our community on his agenda. And I'm so glad that to be part of that. Praise God. Amen. I'll tell you what we did. I was wondering how to get the voice just a little bit clearer for the radio broadcast. And so I read online and said, well, I just didn't have time. I just wanted this one to be a little different, because the big windscreens on that particular microphone system kind of muffles just a little bit. I wanted the clarity without having to get so close to the mic that I'm popping into it. And they said, if you take some of your wife's hose and you make a circle out of a coat hanger and stretch it over it real tight and tie it off, and then wrap that coat hanger around your microphone, then you can make yourself a windscreen that'll work just as good as the professional ones in a studio. And so, sure enough, my wife had some hose she was willing to sacrifice. Amen. What a sacrificial lady she is for the sake of the gospel.
And we went to put the whole thing on it.
She told me, no, to cut the leg off. Don't. You know, when you're working with a whole, I don't know which what to put where. Amen. I just didn't, and I don't want stuff, you know, nobody sees where this broadcast come from, but I didn't want them to see, you know. Thank the Lord, nobody can see that the studio, amen, for the broadcast. But if you hear that broadcast, I don't believe that you can tell a difference from the radio announcer than the broadcast when it comes on. I don't believe you can tell a bit of difference from the studio than the broadcast. And so I just made my windscreen and put it up there, and I looked at that little humble windscreen, amen, and I just thought, you know something? We haven't spent millions of dollars on studio equipment, or thousands, rather. We haven't spent money that we have to recoup somehow from that audience. We can give and give and give and give again. And I believe that's exactly why God, hallelujah, has chosen to allow us to minister to other countries and nations. Because he, without price, let him come. Let him come without cost, without price. The Spirit says come, and the bride says come. And let him that heareth say come, and drink of the river of life freely. Freely you have received, freely give. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And it's such a privilege and an honor to just be able to say our only motive that is ulterior in any way is to see people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to see Christians edified. Let everything be done for the building up of the body of Christ. It's not gonna make me any money because a penny hasn't come in. It hasn't been needed because of volunteers and because people who love God are supporting it. And we're so grateful to the Lord tonight. Praise God. Amen. Let's lift him up. Hallelujah. It's all about his love, his mercy, his grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. You know, it's like the Lord has orchestrated this song service again. I don't want to put pressure on anybody when they're getting things together to think they've got into get into some intensive prayer thing. No, God will put it all together. We just go with what is coming to us, and we don't realize it's the Lord. But all afternoon, God has been talking to my heart about that the great love of God. And I've been looking at what drives revival. I wanted to know what, you know, and there's all kinds of things out front that seem to be outshining other things. And things like power, powerful visitations and powerful manifestations. But if you get right down to the nitty-gritty core issue of what drives true revival, it is rekindled love for Jesus. That's what brings repentance in the church. We don't repent because we just see the error of our ways and we want to get it right. We repent because we fall so deeply in love with the Lord that we know that we can give more, do better than we're doing. And it's not just the sins of commission that the church needs to repent of so much, but the sins of omission. The things that we should do, that we ought to do, that we know God wills for us to do. But we let other things get in the way of that. When you fall deeply in love with the Lord and you start loving him back for loving you, then the kingdom becomes first automatically. You don't have to work at it. It's just number one in your life. And everything begins to fall into place in your heart. And when it does, it works out of your heart to all the areas of your life. Amen. And it's so wonderful to serve him out of a deep, devotional love for him rather than out of some even, you know, just a kind of, well, I better do it or I'll get a whipping. That's not the highest reason to serve God tonight. Or I better not do it because, you know, I need something from the Lord and I can't receive it unless I'm square with him. That's not even the highest reason to serve him. The highest reason to serve him. I listen, and we're going to sing this song, but I listened to a Chinese Christian today. And if the interpretation of the Mandarin language had been clear, I would have brought it and played it for you tonight. It was just 10 minutes. But this young woman, young mother, had been imprisoned and for attending a church service. There's a state church in China. You register with the state and go to the state-influenced church. You can go to church in China. But the great revival is not taking place in the state-influenced church in China. It's taking place in the underground persecuted church. 130 million Christians growing by 20,000 a week converted. Well, she was in prison and she got real sick. And when she got sick in body, she began to be discouraged, deeply discouraged. She thought about her family. She said they were not really strong in the Lord. And she wanted to go back, not just to see them for a selfish reason, but to go back and encourage them to be strengthened in God. And then finally, from my understanding, best I could understand, she was beaten, and she was beaten so badly and sick, thought she was going to die, and she said, "I couldn't turn my body, I couldn't twist, my body was so abused," and she said, "I was laying there, they finally authorized her to be taken to a hospital because they thought she's dying, So let's just, you know, let's make this clean it up a little bit and just put her on in the prison hospital. And she said, I was laying there and I couldn't even turn one way or the other. And she's smiling the whole time. And she's saying, but you know, I thought about Jesus suffering for me and what he endured for me on the cross. And she said, strength and joy came to me. And she said, during those 8 days in the hospital, she said, I was filled with such joy. And God granted me such grace and strength. Hallelujah. They finally turned her loose and let her go back home. And she said, you know, I've grown closer to God through this ordeal. And her family's now serving the Lord because they saw her take it like that and rejoice in him. Because when she decentralized herself, when she said, it's not about me, she said, what I'm suffering is nothing. I've heard that before from someone in the Bible. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment. And if you read what he categorized as light, it's unbelievable. Amen. This sufficient grace, this kind of devotion to Christ. She said, what I am going through, Lord, making me feel so depressed and discouraged, it's nothing compared about what you went through for me. And the moment she came to that understanding of suffering for him and what he did for us, her love for him just outshined her own personal discomfort. She said, if I die for him, it's okay now. If I never see my family, God will somehow take care of them. And I've said it before, and I must say it again tonight. Amen. If people around the world love him enough, think he's that valuable, that they're willing to die for him. Sean, I don't believe it's too much to ask here in America, where we're not suffering like that, for him, to ask Christians to live for him. Can you say amen? Amen. Just to simply live for Jesus Christ. What we see now is an imposition. What we see is something that takes our time and energy from ourself. Amen. Is a very wrong perspective about what it means to serve God. Can you say amen? We want miracles for people that don't want to be in church services like we had this morning. We want God to show up and do the supernatural for people that would not be caught in this church under these circumstances for anything. Can you say amen? Now I'm going to tell you something and tell people change that attitude. Amen. Of wanting some kind of neat little convenient religion. We're not going to see miracles no matter how many people intercede and how many people pray. Can you say amen? Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? It's getting difficult for me to pray for people that stay in religious systems that suppress the expression of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That want a cut and dried service so it can be convenient for them. And then expect God to work miracles and do the supernatural. It isn't happening. And here's the bad news. And I say it with a broken heart. It's not going to happen until people put a value on Jesus that's just a little higher than this religious routine that so many churches are locked into. And I'm not just talking about dead denominationalism. I'm talking about those that, remember in the book of Revelation, thou hast a name that lives. You got a name that represents the living power of a living God. But thou art dead. We can't live off of past testimonies of what God used to do. We can't claim Pentecostal or full gospel based on what happened 30 years ago in our denomination. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We need something that Psalm 92 calls fresh oil. Everybody say fresh oil. He said he would anoint us with fresh oil. Praise God and exalt our horn like the unicorns. He will increase our strength and spiritual power. Praise God. And it all begins when we start loving him back for loving us. Let's love him in this song today. I have given my son. He's given his body to be tortured to death. What more can I give? What more can he give than what has already been given? Every time I sit and hear people talk about programs to get people to church, my stomach turns.
Amen, brother.
If Christians who've been washed in the blood of Jesus have to have something else, God is not offering us anything else because we shouldn't need anything else. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I don't know when or how this revival is going to come in America, but I know there will not be an authentic revival until it does, until the first love is rekindled, until people begin to serve him out of devotion and not just emotion, until people serve him for the right reason. Amen. Not for the wrong reason. True revival is not going to come to this nation. Can you say amen? But when it does, I believe it's going to be a grassroots movement within churches across the land where preachers begin to fall in love with God, not just do their job professionally anymore. Can you say amen? And they preach with passion if they fire them next month. Amen? Listen to me. I believe they're going to hold a higher standard. Amen. Whether there be many. Can I tell you one thing? We'll sing this song because I'm preaching in between because I'm not planning on preaching tonight, believe it or not. That's why I'm doing all this right now. Because if you get me started later on, it'd be hard to stop me. Amen. But listen, I heard one of the greatest testimonies I have heard in months and months and months. Amen. Recently at a pastor's breakfast. It was such good news because a pastor of a huge church in California with perks and all of the benefits. He left that church and went to a smaller church without all the perks and benefits. And they were astounded because they didn't run him off. And they scratched their head and they couldn't figure it out, Sean. They couldn't figure out why a man would leave a church with prestige, a church that had success written all over it, a church where hundreds of people came out every Sunday. I think it was maybe 1,500, 2,000 people came out every Sunday to hear him minister. And it was growing with people. And he left. And they called him and said, "You owe us an explanation." He resigned. He wasn't angry. He just resigned and said, "God has led me to take this church. And it's much smaller and doesn't have the prestige and the perks and doesn't have the salary or the benefits." He's stepping down. You know that's not success. How can you step down and be successful? Can't be God. God only promotes you up and up and up. Yeah, I've heard that too. So he came back and said, I'll explain it in a message. I'll come and minister. So the whole congregation, so there's no second hand. I'll let everyone here. You know what the title of his sermon was? Lukewarm and Loving It. Lukewarm and loving it. And he says, "You're lukewarm. I love you, but you're lukewarm and you love it. You're happy right where you are, and you do not want to go any further in your commitment to Jesus Christ. You're happy with coming to church and going home and living your life and just that's it. Sum total of your whole spiritual life. You're lukewarm and you love it." But he said, "I'm not lukewarm. I love Jesus Christ. And I want to be around people who love Jesus Christ. Because if people love the Lord, we can go somewhere in God. We can do something for God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he wasn't even done. He's tougher than me. He said, not only that, he said, there are people out here that haven't accepted Jesus as Savior that just come with your husband or your wife or your kids. And you know you're lost. And you love it. You love it that way. You have no responsibility to God. You're on your way to hell and you're loving it. Because you don't comprehend what's really about to happen when you draw your last breath. And he said, I can't stand to sit up here on Sunday and watch people unmoved by a loving God who's calling people to salvation Sunday after Sunday. I want to preach where people come to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's to the play church. But that is an exceptional pastor with a passion for God. Can you say, man, that's willing to step down to see a move of God rather than stay where he's at in this comfortable setting? God delivers from lukewarm pastors and lukewarm churches. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, give us back a passionate heart for Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. If that lady can serve Jesus like that, I think I can live for him. Hallelujah. Over here on this side of the pond. Hallelujah. Let's lift him up. This is a simple song of love. God set this up tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus. I will speak to those who will listen. I will disclose my heart to those who have a heart for me. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. It's one of the other reasons God is sending his word shot. He's sending it to people that are hungry, that desire God's truth. They love him. They want to hear what he has to say. They want to listen with the intent to obey. That's called giving heed in the Bible. To give heed means to listen with the intent to obey and with the commitment to obey. It's not just sitting in church and letting the sermon roll off of us. It's listening with a heart for God. Amen. With the full intention of setting ourselves to obey what the Lord speaks to us. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song. I love him tonight. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. God is here tonight. Blessed be his name. Blessed be his name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We welcome you here tonight. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We're hearing your name. We're hearing your name. We're hearing your name. We're here in your name tonight. To magnify your name, to call upon your name, to glorify your name, to exalt your name tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're here to declare your name to the nations of the world. For there's no other name given under heaven to men by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's going to honor that message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm praying the prayer of Jabez for a different reason than Jabez prayed it. Amen. Jabez prayed it for literally his own life to be blessed. We're praying it, amen, for God's kingdom to be filled. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know why so many bought the book when that was a hot thing going on? You get these hot things going on in Christianity. One of the hot things was like a rabbit's foot prayer. Oh, if we pray the prayer of Jabez, we're going to get all these blessings. Amen. It's the way we pray it and the way we say it. Oh, honey, it's not the way you pray it. It's not the way you say it. It's the way you behave before God. It's your attitude, your actions, praise God, and more importantly, your priorities. Kingdom of God gets first. He can add what he knows that you need. Amen. And listen, when the Father gives you what you need, you're going to have everything you want. Amen. I said, when the Father gives you everything you need, you're going to have everything you want, because he's not going to start it on the outside. He's going to start it on the inside. Can you say, man, he's going to show you where the living water is, so you can fill that big old gaping hole with something more than material stuff that you think you can't do without. Can you say, man, you'll be amazed what you can do without when you're full of Jesus. Just thought I'd run that by you anyway. Thank you for singing so good tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Living water that you'll never thirst again. Doug is going to read some of the places I understand where these pens represent tonight. And after he does that, we're going to have about three minute and a few second video with the words, because I want you to know what drives true authentic revival. And I want you to clearly understand that the gifts of the Spirit do not drive authentic revivals. Thank you for the hearty amen. How many know for the fish and loaves and for the miracles of healing, Jesus always had a crowd? How many know nobody left when he was turning water to wine? Can you say amen? How many know when he was feeding 5,000, no one was in a hurry to go to the house? Amen? Everybody enjoyed the meal. And in fact, when some of those people that were at that occasion and at the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, some of them followed him to the next town expecting more of the same. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? We want God. God blesses us. We want to get a replica of that blessing every time we come to church, rather than be a blessing and find the blessing of giving, which is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Can you say amen? Incredible the way this works. He said, "You're only coming because of the fish and loaves. if you hadn't partaken, physically eaten of those fish and loaves, and looking for another, amen, a situation just like that, you wouldn't be here." So God knows why we're here tonight. Can you say amen? He knows what our motive is, and he wants to stimulate us with love. And after he reads this, I want you to know that we're preaching a message to people that love him enough to devote to him. We're not lowering the standard. We're not going to get involved in the new age or the new religious approach that says, let's find out what their felt needs is. We get them in church, maybe we can get them to Christ. Honey, if they don't come in understanding clearly the worth and the value of the cross and of the blood of Jesus and of Jesus himself, I don't believe they're going to fall in love with him simply because of all the programs the church provides for them. In fact, I see people that go to churches filled with programs that fall out of love with him because they're going for the wrong reason now. Amen. When they came here, they wasn't coming for the programs. Amen. And if there is a young person coming here, they're not coming because there's video games in the back room. Amen. They would actually have to worship with us. Oh, what a downer that would be. Can you say, man, to worship God with us and love on Jesus? Oh, my goodness. That's too much to ask for a young person today. We better be able to have a church where the young people can, yes, have something for them, but they need to participate in worship with us. Both the young man and the old man, let them exalt the name of the Lord together. Can you say, man? Devotion is devotion is devotion. Praise God. And if anybody loves him, and I'm counting on some young people wanting to follow Christ closely and not just have a good time at church. Because following Christ closely will cause you to have a better time at church. They just don't understand that yet. They don't get it. But as soon as we talk about the countries that the broadcast is going to, there's a song that came out of the 1904 Welsh revival. a mighty move of God. I mean, over 100,000 people without the media came to Christ in the initial months of that mighty revival, this mighty move of God. Amen. And everybody who studies revivals has heard of the Welsh revival. And there is a song, a particular song, that became, if you look it up on the web, it will say underneath it, the love song of the Welsh revival. The love song of the Welsh revival. And it'll give you an idea of what drives authentic revival. A revival, so-called, based on the gifts of an anointed preacher, never lasts. Because people don't fall in love with Jesus by standing in lines and getting gifts ministered to them. Amen. It don't make you love Jesus. It's only one thing that makes you love Jesus, and that's the cross. Yes. And understanding and appreciating the cross. Amen? The very thing that we think don't work anymore is the very thing that brought the true revivals. Amen? And it was always a reciprocated love. If God loves me this much, like the lady being persecuted in prison, she said, while I was thinking about me, I was becoming very discouraged and said, God, I don't think I can take this much longer. When she ended up in the hospital and they just put her in there because they'd give her up to die. But she said, when I thought about what he did for me, what he suffered for me on the cross, she said, the joy came. And I quit thinking about me and I said, it's okay. And the strength and the joy to endure that suffering. And she's not complaining now. She said, I am a better Christian because of this. Amen. I've learned things. I'm leading my family. They saw me come through this with joy in my heart. And it's inspired my family to dedicate their life to Jesus. Because see, Jesus is valued that much. Because he's loved that much. Can you say, man? So what if this song that we're going to hear in a moment drove, became the love song, the one they always asked to hear every time they assembled together in that great revival. This was the standard song. And it has earned the title, the love song of the Welsh revival. Amen. It's not about us. It's about him and his love for us. But as we focus on his sacrificial love for us, his suffering love for us, if we've got any heart at all for God, it stimulates us to love him back with deep devotion. And when we start loving him with deep devotion, guess what? Amen. Our prayer life picks up because we love to talk to the one we love so much. Can you say amen? Our church life, our Christian life, our following Jesus, discipleship, amen. It picks up, it kicks in because we follow him whom our soul loves. I love the Song of Solomon. Don't you love that? PG-13, I always say that to get all the young people to read it. I'm sure they're going to go home and turn to it immediately when they find out it's PG-13. It's about... And some people say, oh, it's not about Jesus and the church. It's not relevant. It's just Solomon and his love for this gal. Listen, God is way too smart to take a bunch of mushy love letters between a man and a woman, just throw them out there for no purpose. If you want to understand the Song of Solomon, read Ephesians 5. When God's talking about this mushy, committed, dedicated love between a man and his wife. Or here, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. You better stop at Walgreens tonight, Sean. I'm giving you fair warning. I don't know if you done got it, but if you don't get it, you're going to get it. Can you say amen? Oh, God. Tie a ribbon around Sean. Yeah. Where is she? Amen. I don't think that's going to cut it. Praise God. Amen. I just don't think that's going to work. I mean, Sean is one handsome fella, but... yeah. I done taking care of my... Taking care of my fox already. Praise God. You got yours too. You got it covered. All right. Amen. I'll tell you what. Brother Taylor said he ain't going to let chocolate sleep in that bed. Him have to go sleep on the couch. Hallelujah. Oh, chocolate up there. Brother Taylor's rolling back and forth trying to get comfortable on that couch. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all, you know what drives true revival? What drives true revival? Authentic revival. All of them on the gifts have come to naught. Did you notice that? Every one of them. None of these were based on any of that. No, it wasn't. The Welsh revival wasn't based on all the charismata. people started loving Jesus back for what he did on the cross. Devoted and dedicated their life 100% to him out of love for him. And a song came out. And you can see what stimulated their love by the song that became known as the Love Song of the Welsh Revival, 1904. And if you look at the words, and the words are going to come up, you're going to see what God is calling us to right here, and why I'm holding the standard, because the God that I serve and the Christ that died for me and you, he's worth your total commitment. I don't know about this Jesus that lives in the peripheral of Christians' lives and is not the center. My God is worth serving. My Jesus is worth living for and giving for. Can you say amen and push come to shove, sacrificing for, and yes, even dying for. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. But he's not asking us to physically die for him. He's only asking us to live for him in a totally devoted, surrendered life. And I want it to come because we are stimulated by his love for us to simply love him back that much and find joy in it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a joy to serve God with you tonight. There's a scripture that says call upon the Lord, and it mentions, and I'll have to look it up, but it mentions shoulder to shoulder. They did it shoulder to shoulder. I'm going to have to preach on that. It's in there. It said they begin to serve God with one heart, and it spoke of them being shoulder to shoulder in this. Can you say, man, they were not a fragmented bunch of people doing their own thing. They stood shoulder to shoulder. Hallelujah. And that's what I believe God is bringing and wanting to bring here in fullness. That we stand shoulder to shoulder to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church and to begin to respond to it by loving and serving Jesus with all of our heart tonight. Hallelujah. Get that sweetheart love back for Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Doug, come and tell us what the Lord is doing in media ministry. Without him, this wouldn't be happening. Praise God, because there's no way I got the time or the expertise to do what God has anointed and appointed Doug to do.
Take a look at that picture on the TV there. I don't think it's any mistake that the Lord put it on my heart to use that as the theme for this year. Even before 2011 came forth, I was thinking about where's this ministry, the direction that we're going in. We're going back to the old paths. This is the gospel. We don't have no hook or crook or some kind of gadget to get people in. It's the cross. It's Jesus being lifted up that draws all men. And this, if we're not built on this foundation, then we're deceived. And we're in a one world system that is going to be popping up even more evident as these days approach us. The map back there. First, I want to say that only represents for about 2 years. And we've been on the web since 2001 with www.thcog.com. So
this is two. All those pins are two out of the 10.
Just two out of the 10 years. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. There's. That's the other thing I want to say. I don't believe I grabbed every IP address because after a while, everything looks the same. If you're just looking at 173.65.149.17, after you've seen 100 of them, you know they're all blended in. But that's only 2 years, and in the 2 years that I've been going off with this tracker to get these stats was when I added all of the sermons that we had on disc, which ranged back to, I think it was 2005. And what he said when he was talking earlier, it gave me another note that I wanted to jot down, was that people are hungry. They're not just getting the new stuff. They're going through our archives and searching out sermons for whatever their hunger for, you know. They're not just getting what's the latest thing, you know. So
that's what I like.
Hallelujah.
If you come at our site to eat, you got to be hungry.
In Ethiopia.
Hallelujah. Pray for this man. He's got a tremendous ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Taking the gospel to fulfill a prophecy. I will bring them from the north, the south, the east and the west. And I remember standing here on this property one day. I was down here saying, Lord, we've lost people instead of gaining them. How are you going to fulfill that? Did I miss it? Did we miss it? But then when we look at that map, we see it. It's not from the community. There's churches all over Tampa. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's bringing them from the four corners of the world. And in a moment, we're going to pray for that 1040 window where the gospel can't hardly find a target. I believe, God, we must preach to the regions beyond. Amen. And not just preach where Christ is already preached alone, but to reach people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you glad for Brother Doug and what God has used him to do? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Cherry, can you flip that little button right there? And can you flip that little button right over there? Because I just want us to get the words of this song. And we're going to pray together and close this service tonight. This is the love song from the 1904 Welsh Revival. And I believe it's very telling because it's going to tell you why the revival came and stayed so long and ushered so many souls into the kingdom of God. And it's all about focusing on his love for us and reciprocating that love back to him. That is what has and always will drive true revival. Can you say amen? How many know we need a true revival? How many have seen the flash in the pans that ended up without any fruit and sometimes even bringing a reproach? Amen. But God wants to send the true revival. Praise God. Look at this song. Sing it if you know it. And let me give him the disc so we can play it. Wouldn't it be something the Lord just started that up without the disc? Because God is here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.